Several years ago, a young couple had come to me to have their baby baptized. Of course, they were not married, and so they weren't going to Mass either. So I was trying to get them back into the church to come and start practicing their faith again. And one of the things I mentioned was that it would be good for them to go to confession. The young man looked at me with a very ugly look in his face, and he said, "You calling me a sinner?" I said, "Well, that would include all of us." He goes, "Are you calling me a sinner?" I said, "Well, of course." He stood up and said, "And who are you to be calling me a sinner?" I looked at him and said, "Well, sir, for one thing, you have a baby right here. I know how they're made, and you're not married. That's sin number one." That got him furious. He said, "You can't judge me. You don't know me. God knows me." He goes on and on and on. His girlfriend said, "Boy, sit down. He's the priest. He's right. You need to go to confession." "So do I. I'm going to do that this Sunday." Thank goodness she had the sense to realize that. But if you ever notice, we find ourselves very touchy, very testy, whenever we're sick or whenever we're under pressure. You know, something happens, we just tend to explode in those times. This is under physical things. Or like if you have a sunburn and somebody comes give you a big hug and pats you on the back, it burns like anything else. Okay, you undergo a deep sense of pain. Why? Because something in the body is amiss. Something in the body is not acting as it should be acting. The same thing happens with our consciences and our souls. When the soul is not right with God, when the mind is not right with God, the conscience is bothered, it's like having that splinter, if you would, in the soul. Something's not right, and a little thing can set us off. And if somebody reminds us of it, ooh, then we get really excited about that in a negative way. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't. A realization of our sinfulness is what God is asking us for. As Psalm 51 puts so beautifully, you know, "A humble and contrite heart, O God, you will not spurn. My sin is before me always. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done." Now, that does not mean we need to beat ourselves up and run ourselves into the ground, but simply to be honest that we are a sinful people, that we do have the capacity to sin. Even if we're not doing it now, it may have been done in the past, and it could happen again. One thing we have to remember is that Satan knows our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses. He tempts us constantly, trying to get us to fall into that trap again and again. But this is where you and I have that advantage. We do not sin because we have to. We sin because we want to. All Satan can do is tempt us, and in our weakness we decide to go along with that temptation, but it doesn't have to happen. You and I have that bodily control, or should have that self-control of mind and body, to better put. The ancient philosophers thought that there were only four elements, before we discovered all the rest of them on the periodic charts, of all the different things that the things of this world are made of, but the first four were earth, air, fire, and water. So the Greek philosophers taught that everything in the world was made of those four things: earth, air, fire, and water, the four elements of which all things are made. So we can take this into Scripture and look at that account as well, that human beings, made by God from the dust of the earth, that through His own breath, the very life of God was breathed into us, as Scripture says, by the Holy Spirit, the very breath of God, represented by both wind and by fire, and that human beings were made clean by the waters of baptism and the fire of God's love. So our earthly life, our spiritual life together with God leads us to eternal life. St. Peter in the second reading mentioned baptism. Baptism, of course, being the gateway to heaven. It's the very first of every sacrament. Baptism is what leads us into union with God as it removes original sin and replaces it with sanctifying grace. It starts us on our journey to heaven. Now, at the same time, God gives us a free will to work with those graces that we receive or in our weaknesses to go against them. But God has given us everything that we need to be saved: knowledge of the truth through Christ. He's given us the fullness of grace through the sacraments. He's given us the body of Christ, the church, to lead us, to guide us, so that we wouldn't be alone on our journey. He's given us the Holy Scriptures to give us wisdom. All of these things, wonderful gifts given to us by the Lord to help us on our way. When we get to heaven, there'll be no more need for any of these things. The church will find itself fulfilled as the body of Christ with Christ forever. We won't need the scriptures anymore. We're going to see God face to face and be filled with all wisdom and knowledge. No more need for the sacraments, as we will be possessing God and God is going to possess us. It's a beautiful thought that we will possess God forever and He will possess us forever. But the reality is that we belong to God here and now, all of us, and that Christ has given Himself to us. We possess Him and He possesses us. In heaven, all hope will be fulfilled, no more danger of being lost, safe and secure. But what about the here and now? It's altogether different. Brothers and sisters, as long as you and I stay in a state of sanctifying grace, that is, we consciously turn away from sin, we avoid committing mortal sin. If we do, we simply go to confession. That's all God is asking. But we strive in every way to live in pure hearts and pure minds, acknowledging our weakness and relying on God's grace, we will be fine. But if we are in sin, if we convince ourselves that no matter what we do, God's going to still love us, that is true. But we don't love God. It's a two-way street. If we decide to persist in a sinful state, if our consciences are bothered, if we find ourselves spiraling more and more and deeper into other things, then our eternal life is in danger. That's a fact. Just like any wound that's untreated can become infected, just like any illness that's not taken care of will kill, any sin that's not removed, any sin that's not dealt with, can and will kill the soul. And Christ Jesus tells us very bluntly in Scripture, not to be of those who can kill the body, but fear those who can take both body and soul and cast them into hell. That's what we fear. Not God, ourselves. Those who lead us into sin. Those situations that lead us into sin, anything that keeps us from loving God completely as He deserves and commands to be loved. God's promises are true. He will always be faithful to us, but He expects that at the same time we're going to be faithful to Him and never presume that we may do and live what and however we wish. Our hearts and our minds should be held captive by the love of Christ. Our hearts and minds be held captive by the love of Christ with a desire to do nothing else but to serve Christ all the days of our lives here on earth, and all the while longing for nothing else than to be with Him forever. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus tells us. Repent and believe, live in the gospel.